Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line. We're live right here on Sports Grid on a Tuesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined again by Donnie Wrightside here on the heels of the Monday Night Football doubleheader, the Bills and the Titans, the Eagles and the Vikings. What a night it was, DRS.
Yeah, and later in this show today, Kevin, there's a segment called Listen Up where I actually say, did we get a preview of the Super Bowl last night between two teams in the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I know that was your preseason Super Bowl prediction. Wow. And certainly the results last night buoyed that idea. We start in Buffalo, where the Bills dominated the Tennessee Titans. Final score of this game, 41-7. Josh Allen, 4 touchdowns, 317 yards. Stephon Diggs, the leading man, 12 catches, 148 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, just an impressive performance, and this is everything we thought, I guess, most people thought the Buffalo Bills would be, Kevin, in the offseason, as they were the betting favorites, and Josh Allen, the betting favorite to win the MVP. They open up on, you know, Thursday Night Football against the world champion Rams, destroy them in their own building, then come home for a de facto welcome home party in a 41-7 drubbing of the Titans. This was the number one seed, Kevin, in the NFL last year in the AFC. And also the game previous, the Rams, yeah, the Super Bowl champion. Good start for the Bills.
The Super Bowl champion won, no doubt about it. The Titans are far from the number one seed that they were last year. They're far from a playoff team. This team is abysmal. They benched Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and the remaining of their starters in the third quarter of this game. They have problems in Tennessee that go well beyond lining up against the Buffalo Bills team that is doing everything right to start this season. Speaking of everything right, that was Jalen Hurts in the first half against the Minnesota Vikings. What an unbelievable performance. 2 rushing touchdowns, 1 through the air, over 250 yards in the first half, again, through the air. He finishes this game with 333 yards, an 80% completion percentage, and multiple rushing touchdowns. First quarterback in NFL history to do that in a single game.
And the interception that he had certainly was not his fault as it bounced off Gainwell's fingertips here, but it was a great performance by the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know what it was, Kevin? I know you were down at the stadium last night. I was in my basement watching the game. I think we both got flagged for illegal men downfield in the first half.
One of those weird things where, like, hold on, was there a mandate we missed where this now has become a storyline? As the Eagles win this game 24-7, Jalen Hurts has now moved with the third best odds to win NFL MVP. Speaking of three, Kirk Cousins in prime time, 3 picks, DRS. I will just quickly stop right there and say this is the reason why we never buy into the Minnesota Vikings. Performances like that from Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, a prime time Kirk Cousins now, maybe what, 2-11, something like that on Monday Night Football, which is astoundingly bad. And quite frankly, the 3 interceptions, Kevin, feels a little bit light when you watch that game with how many chances the Eagles actually had to intercept Kirk Cousins. A terrible performance all the way around from the Vikings skill position players.
A couple of them certainly did get away. In other NFL news, Mike Evans has been suspended for one game with the brawl fight nonsense between him and Marshawn Lattimore that feels like it happens every single time the Saints and the Bucs play one another. But a big game that Mike Evans is going to miss. They are, the Tampa Bay Bucs are playing the Green Bay Packers this week. Our radio audience enters the fold here on a Tuesday morning, the Early Line on SiriusXM, channel 159. The Bucs still a 2.5-point favorite, though, with the anticipation Mike Evans will miss this game.
I did like Mike Evans, I guess, excuse to the referees when they played it back in slow motion. It's Tom Brady. What did you want me to do? I don't know. Not cause a melee ruckus at midfield with something you've been known to do with Marshawn Lattimore. Going to hurt the team missing a game. If you're Tom Brady, you got to respect the guy sticking up for you. But I think Tom Brady would have rather Mike Evans not stuck up for him and been around this week to take on the Packers.
We'll talk about this game in our early line segment as we get you set for week number three. And speaking of week number three, Joe Flacco will likely be starting in week number three for the New York Jets as they will be hosting the Cincinnati Bengals coming off of their come-from-behind victory versus the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, how about this? Flacco throws for three Bills again this weekend against the Bengals, picks up a W, then you go back to Zach Wilson. Good luck, kid, in the Big Apple.
We will see how that all plays out. Flacco starting this week because Zach Wilson's still not considered ready to go. But what happens when Zach Wilson is ready to go? We shall see. It's an interesting game this week, no doubt. In Major League Baseball news, some playoff positioning clinched. The Mets have solidified their spot in the postseason, lighting up Corbin Burns last night.
Yeah, one of those games, Kevin, we talked about. I was thinking about going with the Mets team total over three. A little bit juicy at a -130 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Didn't matter. That cashed in easy last night, and so did the Mets. Max Scherzer headed down the playoff stretch now.
Max Scherzer came back. Six perfect innings for Mad Max. They didn't want to overextend it with the postseason coming up. Understandable there. How about the Houston Astros as they win the AL West once again? The Angels, the Mariners, it just doesn't matter. This is the Astros division.
Yeah, looking in the rearview mirror, you actually need binoculars to see the second-place team. This team is the class of the West.
No doubt about it. Speaking of the West, Clayton Kershaw, double-digit Ks last night in a win versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. One question we have about the Dodgers, if we have any questions about the World Series favorites, how will their pitching hold up? Clayton Kershaw needs performances like those.
Yes, he certainly does, and maybe it did pay off, Kevin, not letting him pitch an extra 10 pitches in April. Kershaw back in form.
Maybe it did. We'll start with the Bills and the Titans next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl favorites are off to a phenomenal start to this season. Bills with another dominant victory last night against the Tennessee Titans in their home opener, 41-7 the final score. The Bills forced the Titans starters to the bench before the fourth quarter even began. Dominant in every single way imaginable. Josh Allen with four touchdowns, three of those to Stephon Diggs, stepping up in the absence of Gabe Davis. I'm not sure what anyone else would want to see from Buffalo through 2 weeks of football, DRS.
I mean, my goodness, Josh Allen is just a destroyer out there right now. 26 of 38, 317, four touchdowns, no picks. And I guess the question was yesterday, we went over the props for rushing in this football game, looking at Derrick Henry finished with 25 yards, but focusing on Josh Allen, you figured he probably had 50, 60 yards last night in that route. One carries for 10 yards. It was a pretty impressive 10-yard run that he did have, I believe, coming on the first drive. But outside of that, the Buffalo Bills just went nuts last night on defense, on offense. Stephon Diggs, 12 for 148. Eight and three scores. They couldn't cover this guy last night up in Buffalo. And as I said, it just felt like a party all night long in Buffalo. And if this is what we're going to see for the remainder of the year, watch out for Josh Allen and the numbers that he can accumulate in this offense.
21 straight pass plays called by the Buffalo Bills. And that right there is, to me, I think the biggest takeaway of this game. As, again, Dable with the Giants right now sits 2-0, impressive with everything going on there. We wondered how would Buffalo look now with Dorsey calling the plays and Josh Allen obviously switching coordinators. And the answer might be better. And I think what's impressive as we look at some of the comebacks that happened on Sunday and teams that took their foot off of the gas, primarily taking a look at the Baltimore Ravens and the Vegas Raiders. Lamar Jackson cannot be stopped by Miami, but they get a bit of a gift because, you know, Harbaugh, they look over, all right, this game's over. Next thing you know, you lose. The Raiders, again, should be wildly embarrassed as the Arizona Cardinals defense looks atrocious. And somehow, some way, Vegas couldn't do anything else in the second half of that game because, again, they put this thing into neutral. The Bills don't go into neutral. They only stopped because the Titans ultimately benched everybody. It was as if the Titans were waving the white flag, like, please don't beat us, you know, 56 to nothing or 7 out, you know, at the time. And that shows a lot of trust in Josh Allen as well, because not a lot of teams seemingly trust their quarterbacks to go out there and throw the ball 38 times at a neutral game script. That's what the Bucs did all of last year with Tom Brady. Josh Allen is the MVP favorite right now at plus 340. And I think Josh Allen has some narrative action on his side as well, DRS, that can lift it. But it's just, it's the numbers right now as well for Josh Allen that feel so trustworthy, because the Bills' identity clearly, again, in a game that they were dominant in, is to throw the football. And right now, few are doing that better than Josh Allen.
He looks amazing. He looks bigger, faster, and stronger than he did a year ago, where he was sensational. And the question mark in the offseason, Kevin, you're right. Brian Daboll leaves out of town. This was the guy that took him as a rookie and sort of molded him from a real athletic, you know, untamed guy in the pocket, wild arm, to now all of a sudden being laser focused with a big time arm and seemingly making every right decision. You want to blitz him, he can get out of the way of the blitz. You want to use him as a running back, you could do that. He's like Cam Newton as a legitimate throwing threat. And it's amazing to watch the evolution of him, and also waiting to see what the Bills do the rest of the year, because if it's any indication, there is no break. It's going to be all gas. It reminds me of that Patriots season where they went unbeaten, ended up losing the Super Bowl to the Giants. But it was like Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Randy Moss made a pact together that said, no matter what the score is, we are going to keep trying to score to see if we can up the ante. Now, it didn't end up in the Super Bowl. It ended up getting them there. But the Buffalo Bills have a lot of those vibes. Like, I know Gabe Davis isn't a sensational wide receiver, but he's a real viable number two. So he's down this night. Oh, look. Now you could just center on, you know, try to slow down Stephon Diggs and see what he can do. They couldn't do anything with him last night. 14 targets, 12 catches. He went nuts, and Josh Allen was every bit as dominant throwing the football to him. That's as impressive a performance as you're going to watch in a primetime game versus a team where the Tennessee Titans, Kevin, even coming into the game, what were we saying to ourselves? Hey, man, 10 points seems like a lot. Watching the pregame telecast on ESPN last night where they're trying to break down this game. Hey, this is a Mike Vrabel spot here, right? You're upset week one, and here you go week two. You can run the football with Derrick Henry. None of that worked. So is this a byproduct of the Bills are just that much better than the Titans? Or, boy, the Titans really have some issues, and so does the AFC South, which could be up for grabs.
Yeah, it certainly could, as we've been trying to tell you. But to hone in on the Tennessee Titans, you know, Derrick Henry obviously averaging 1.9 yards per carry is disastrous. Did find the end zone, though, on the opening drive. Ryan Tannehill's job is on the line already, Donnie, here. It's pretty incredible that we've seen Malik Willis already enter a game. And I just think these calls for Malik Willis will only get louder as this season goes on. The Titans next week are going to play the Vegas Raiders at home in a very short line that at the moment points towards Vegas. If Tennessee falls to 0-3, I don't think you can rule out Malik Willis being the game four starter for the Tennessee Titans.
If you remember, Kevin, one of the things that we even did a Twitter Spaces, and you know, for that maybe a week and a half stretch, I kept telling myself, like, if you're looking for a rookie of the year chance here, who gives you the best options? I know it was George Pickens, who, I don't know, he's on like a milk carton right now. He was one of the favorites to win rookie of the year. Kenny Pickett, who hasn't started yet for Mitchell Trubisky, that might be coming pretty soon as well. We can certainly get to talking to that. But I said, you know, Malik Willis around that like 50-1 mark, and I said, he doesn't even start here. Well, you're trying to take an opportunity where a team might not be as good as you think they might be, or maybe injury sets in. We're having electric kid who can come in with a big arm, run around the pocket and make some plays. That's what you're looking for as a rookie of the year. And I think now we're getting a little bit closer. Ryan Tannehill's still a veteran in this league, and you can't watch that football game and just say, well, Tannehill's the reason why they lost. The defense stunk. Derrick Henry couldn't get anything going. The offensive line wasn't blocking. And of course, yes, Ryan Tannehill wasn't playing all that well. So we might be looking at something a little bit sooner than later, but I want to see how much he can do damage, because is this one of those guys that you expected to keep on the bench? We even heard Mike Tomlin talking about Kenny Pickett. Well, I'd rather sit him the entire season here as almost a redshirt year. But it looks like you might have to put Malik Willis in a lot sooner than you actually expected if you're a Tennessee Titans fan.
And Malik Willis entered this game. He was 1-for-4, 6 yards, 4 rushes, 16 yards on the ground. Tannehill, So I this game did not work out for me from a betting perspective, which was Devin Singletary over rushing yards and Ryan Tannehill over passing yards. You know, there's a moment where you could pause this game and be like, how do you feel about your action? Unbelievable. Couldn't ask for anything more. Ryan Tannehill is going to have to pass on every single one of the remaining plays, and Devin Singletary should have the ball. Well, Buffalo obviously got to a point where the game was completely out of control, and you know, they didn't really run the ball until the fourth quarter, and at that point, they let the rookie James Cook come in. But, Donnie, I mean, at that point, the Buffalo Bills, right, up four possessions, sit back a little bit, right? Just you could take what's underneath. I mean, he couldn't even complete a four-yard checkdown to a running back without throwing a pick six, Ryan Tannehill. 11 of 20, 117 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Is a nightmare for Ryan Tannehill. And if you look at the upcoming schedule, again, Vegas, at Indianapolis, at Washington, bye week. We always talk about the bye week when we talk about rookie quarterbacks. It just so happens that Tennessee's is incredibly early. And if you're not going to be able to attack teams efficiently through the air, and you can't find a way to shake Derrick Henry loose, then you turn to Malik Willis. And while Ryan Tannehill is probably, certainly at this point in his career, a better thrower of the football, changing the math where now teams cannot just zone in on Derrick Henry as it pertains to your rushing attack, but have to now really worry about Malik Willis, that can change the identity for the Titans.
Yeah, you know what else changes your identity? Hey, Ryan Tannehill drops back to pass. Ooh, A.J. Brown. He's open every single play. Let me throw it to A.J. Brown. Ah, he played in the other Monday Night Football game. Nice trade down there for the Titans.
We'll talk about A.J. Brown and those Philadelphia Eagles coming up right here on the early line. The Birds win 24-7 on the Monday Night doubleheader. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Philadelphia Eagles last night hosted the Minnesota Vikings, and they win this game 24-7. And I think there's someone on this show that maybe owes someone an apology. Despite the fact, Donnie, that you picked the Eagles to win the NFC, you spent the entire offseason asking when Gardner Minshew would take over at quarterback for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts now has the third best odds. He has the third best odds to win MVP. Why don't you, for once, take something a little serious here and give Jalen Hurts the credit he deserves for putting on one of the best first halves that any quarterback has played this season, the best half of football of his career, and putting the Eagles in position to win this game as they did here and move to 2-0.
They played well last night. We can't take that away from Jalen Hurts, but you got to keep the fire burning under him, Kevin. He's a good quarterback this year. Looks like he did improve much from last year, because the last time we saw him in that Tampa Bay Buccaneers road game, it's like, boy, is this guy really the future? And also, the Eagles front office, much like myself, said, not sold on you yet. Need a big year this year. You know what we're going to do? Instead of giving you multiple first-round picks, we're going to put a couple into the future just in case you don't play well. Well, he's giving them every reason to now go spend those first-round picks on even more talent that's not actually a future quarterback, because the Eagles may have found them. Quite frankly, it doesn't get any better. When you have a quarterback that played with as much moxie as Jalen Hurts did last night, the sky is the limit at this point. You're talking about a guy that you can use in every facet. When we look at the Eagles' offense, and even the Eagles' roster, let's just say, offensively, it's one of the more talented rosters in the entire NFL. A very good offensive line, good young tight end, dominant wide receivers, and multiple running backs that can use. And also, you can use Jalen Hurts as a de facto running back, where if you run read option, you got to respect the quarterback. Do you remember when Doug Peterson was in Philadelphia and started putting in those RPOs? Well, look, Carson Wentz could move a little bit. Nick Foles couldn't move at all, but it still worked. Now you have these RPOs being put in Philadelphia with a guy that can actually run the football and ran for another two touchdowns last night. If you're going to get these type of performances out of Jalen Hurts with this talented Eagles roster, the sky really is the limit. And we talked about it yesterday before the game started. There wasn't going to be, the Eagles were favored in this game. This wasn't 2021 where you might have got a moral victory. Like, hey, the Vikings are a good team. The Eagles fought them hard, just came up a little bit short. Maybe we'll see them down the line. Now, last night felt like a statement game saying, okay, Minnesota, you beat the Green Bay Packers. You think you're the best team in the NFC North? That's fine. Well, we opened up against Detroit. Oh, they're going to come back, and the defense stinks. Well, the defense obviously made some corrections, and to the point that I always talk about during NFL season, high school season, or college football season, Kevin, weeks one to weeks two are where you're going to find out what the coaching staff is made of and the players are made of. Clearly, it wasn't good enough what they did in Detroit. They made some changes and held Minnesota to 7 points, including repeatedly letting them start in the red zone and coming up absolutely empty. Tremendous performance last night.
We talked about what was on the line in this game for the Philadelphia Eagles. They entered as the second favorite to win the NFC, go to the Super Bowl. They were playing against the Vikings, who beat the Green Bay Packers, and the Eagles were tied with the Packers as the second best choice to win the NFC. The Vikings are a team that a lot of people are very excited about this season, and understandably so. Kevin O'Connell looks like he can be a pretty good coach. Justin Jefferson, the favorite for offensive player of the year entering this game. And if the Eagles were going to live up to where they were being priced in the market and the conversations around them, then they needed to be able to win in their building. And if you would have just told me that, hey, the Eagles are going to beat the Vikings, does that, you know, officially then stamp them as legit? Maybe, but how does it play out? But then you watch it play out, and the Eagles are every bit deserving to have not only the, you know, co-second choice to win the NFC, but top five Super Bowl odds. Jalen Hurts was unbelievable in this game. Nearly 400 total yards of offense for him. But more importantly, because everybody knows he's a runner, 26 of 31, 333 yards and a touchdown, a pick that was not his fault. He started this game 10 for 10 passing. He could not be stopped. He did whatever he wanted. And A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert all involved. Eight different players catching the ball. Four different pass catchers with 69-plus receiving yards in this game, spreading it around. Because for some people, the takeaway in game one is, it's just going to be A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown had the same receiving yards as Quez Watkins in this matchup. It was Goddard and Devonta Smith leading the way. And right now, Miles Sanders looks excellent as well. If Jalen Hurts, again, third best odds to win MVP, is of this level, then the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be able to do a whole lot more than just win an NFC East divisional crown. On the other side of things, though, Donnie, the Vikings beat the Packers in week number one. And some folks believe that Minnesota should move over to the favorites in the NFC North. And after just one more set of games, we see why the Vikings are not favored to win the NFC North. Because you trust Aaron Rodgers, and you never trust Kirk Cousins. Awful here in prime time. It feels just so simple to say, but it's what it was. 27 of 46, 221 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. And as you said at the top, felt like it could have been a lot more.
Yeah, it could have been a lot more. Almost like the Eagles, I don't want to say took their foot off the gas pedal. He had that field goal late that got blocked for a return. I mean, this was really headed for an absolute blowout, but the Eagles defense continually stepped up time and time again. If you took one takeaway out of week one from the Philadelphia Eagles playing the Detroit Lions on the road, DeAndre Swift ran wild. So coming into this game, what's everybody circling? Rightfully so. Dalvin Cook, boy, man, if you know DeAndre, if Swift went nuts, you got to get a hold of Dalvin Cook here. He might just go, you know, 150-plus yards, two touchdowns. The Eagles can't stop him. Dalvin Cook finished with six carries for 17 yards and was insignificant here. Kirk Cousins threw the ball 46 times and only wound up with 221 yards in a blowout where the Eagles were basically saying, move the football downfield, waste some time. We don't think you're going to be able to score touchdowns as is, and multiple times, Kevin, in the second half due to, you know, bad tipped interceptions or blocked kicks that they started in the red zone, were unable to come away with any points at all. It just felt like also, didn't it, like the fourth quarter where you get that blocked kick, like, man, they get one touchdown here. They're right back in it. The pressure's back on the Eagles. Bengals. They didn't let it happen. Their defensive secondary was absolutely sensational in a game where you knew Justin Jefferson coming back to Philadelphia. What did he want to do? Hey, you know what? I hear the Eagles fans. You know, I hear everybody talking about how they should have drafted me, and they understand that. I'm going to show you once again why they should have drafted me over Jalen Reagor, and he ends up with 6 for 48. That's exactly what you would want for the Philadelphia Eagles if that was going to take place here. So from an overall perspective, if there's one thing, and again, the Eagles are 2-0, and they looked impressive last night, and maybe they could be the front runner here in the AFC, depending on, you know, what some other teams do, the Green Bay Packers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I need a little bit more organic pass rush out of that front four. That's a high-paying outfit that I need to see a little bit more, just beating your man one-on-one and getting some sacks there. But outside of that, it's a talented roster, Kevin. They performed last night.
First game without Derek Barnett, so that group probably going to need to find their rhythm as the time goes on. You mentioned Justin Jefferson and the performance that he had. Darius Slay with 2 interceptions in this game. They call him Big Play Slay for a reason, and he was as shut down probably as you could be going up against a talent as like Justin Jefferson, really. I will say, too, we talk about kind of overreactions, if you will. If Minnesota misses the playoffs, how is Kirk Cousins back as this team's quarterback? I don't know how that can be. After game number one, the idea was Kevin O'Connell, coach of the year, Justin Jefferson, offensive player of the year, Minnesota's going to win the division. I know where we were, but that's kind of the point. We do this multiple times a year. Cousins is underrated. Nobody gives him respect. Look at the skill position players. By the way, Dalvin Cook could not get loose at all in this football game. We do this every year with Kirk Cousins in the Minnesota. Nobody respects him. And then they're what? Anywhere from 7 to 10 wins, right? And maybe they need a little bit of help to get into the postseason. Maybe they're not even competing for anything on the final slate of games. Do you think that's an overreaction? If Minnesota misses the playoffs, Kirk Cousins will no longer be a Viking?
No, it's certainly not an overreaction at this point, because this is what the Kirk Cousins roller coaster is. You'll see him have unbelievable stretches of games, put up some great statistics, but sometimes in the biggest moments, particularly primetime Monday Night Football games, he does struggle. And at that point, sooner or later, you have a new head coach he inherited Kirk Cousins, right? This wasn't O'Connell coming in, Kevin, saying, you know, my guy is Kirk Cousins. Let's make a trade for him. I'm going to make this work here. So he's still in evaluation mode as well, but that's everything that you look at. Week 1, hey, Kirk Cousins played well. Here. Week 2, he played terrible. He's going to have stretches where he goes 3 or 4 straight games and has 10 touchdowns and no interceptions, and the Vikings look like world beaters, and then he's going to slip back to reality. When we talked about winning this division, Kevin, in the offseason, you looked at the roster. As I said to myself, the Vikings are so much more talented on offense. If they put it together this year, they should overtake the Packers. But when the final straws come out and you say, how does that happen? It's Kirk Cousins. It's versus Aaron Rodgers. Who are you going to pick there? And usually Aaron Rodgers wins out. Let's see what happens in 2022. But the reason why Kirk Cousins doesn't win out all that much, performances like last night against the Philadelphia Eagles.
And in a big-time spot, 3 interceptions. And by the way, you know, Minnesota had a decision after a lot of negative yardage. They had – now, their opening drive, they drove right away, by the way. He throws an interception, right? Mm-hmm. They get a blocked field goal that had a big-time return. He throws another interception. Then they had to punt the Minnesota Vikings because it was 4th and 21. And Hurts ends up throwing the pick because it goes off Kenneth Gainwell's hands. Cousins throws another interception. They're inside like the 10-yard line. They had opportunities, and he just continued to find Darius Slay. It's a real nightmare scenario. Worst performance of the week, certainly. We'll talk about some others next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid. I want to take a look at some of the more disappointing performances in week 2 and some exciting performances that this week of action provided us. We start the quarterback position, where there are 3 quarterbacks that sit right now at 0-2. And these are 3 quarterbacks that had significantly higher expectations than what these starts have led to. Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals and Derek Carr and the Vegas Raiders. All of these starts are incredibly disappointing. You could argue for maybe at least Derek Carr. Statistically, it's not as disappointing, but the 0-2 start certainly is. The loss that they put up versus Arizona is so disappointing right now. And Derek Carr had three interceptions in their opening game versus the Chargers. Of these three quarterbacks, Donnie, who has been the most disappointing?
It's got to be Matt Ryan, right? Because the expectations coming in. Now, for Derek Carr, the expectations that offense is going to move the football, but it's the Raiders. They play in a tough division. Anything that they win, be you know, around 500 or fighting for their playoff lives, you would take that there. Joe Burrow, you know, surgery. Eventually, I have more confidence that Joe Burrow and that Cincinnati offense get it together, which leaves us with Matt Ryan here coming over as the savior, as if he was Tom Brady, who's won, you know, six rings at this point, and he was going to lead the direction. Oh, you guys had that bum Carson Wentz. Where do you see the professional attitude I take here? And, oh, yeah, I'm going to yell and scream during practice. I'm going to make you guys run extra plays because that's what a leader does. Not necessarily. A leader would do that and then go out on the field and actually perform with his mates here and lead you to victories. Doesn't have a victory yet on the season here for the Colts. 547 yards through two games. That's okay. But how about this? One touchdown pass. Let's remind ourselves. He played the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not exactly the 2000 Baltimore Ravens that you're stacking up against. How about interceptions? Yeah, you're giving that away too. Four, which is tied for 31st in the NFL. How about your QBR rating? A 27th in the NFL. And if you go back and just watch the game, because I did have the Jacksonville Jaguars, in part because Matt Ryan, I didn't know if he would, you know, come back off that performance as if most people are expecting, hey, look, Colts had a bad opening day. They'll be fine in week two. I wasn't necessarily sure of that, and they proved me right. But go watch the throws he made. Similarly, last night where you're watching Kirk Cousins, under a little bit of a blitz, I can't get out of the way. Let me just throw it up and hope my player is over there. Those terrible interceptions that just flutter. The DB says, thanks, I'll take that and go the other way with it. So of those three quarterbacks for me, by far, from what we anticipated coming into the season to what we're getting after 2 weeks, it's Matt Ryan by a long shot here for me, Kevin.
I think all three of them can act as the answer. Matt Ryan is not mine, but we can stick on this a little bit because no one can defend the performances that we've seen from Matt Ryan to this point. And again, as you mentioned, importantly, the opponents. Whether I think the Jags will be better than most or not is hardly the point here. I mean, you're above a field goal favorite in each of your first two games, and you have one touchdown and four interceptions to show for it. You've already been shut. The Jags, listen, again, I think they can be better. A shutout by the Jacksonville Jaguars. By the way, they only had scored 3 points through the first three quarters in that game versus the Houston Texans. They were getting embarrassed in that game as well. They really were. The Indianapolis Colts don't look like a... See, that's the thing. And maybe I'm trying too hard to give an answer that's not Matt Ryan, right? They don't even look remotely near a playoff team, the Indianapolis Colts. The only reason they're still favored to win that division is because of preseason expectations. Because nobody else believes in the rest of that division. That's the only reason why. I mean, Donnie, could you argue the Indianapolis Colts have looked like the worst team in the NFL through 2 weeks of football?
Absolutely, and you're right about that. It was the fourth quarter that brought them back to actually getting lucky for a tie. You could have back-to-back weeks, Kevin. What, 20-3 loss and then a 24-0 shutout loss on the road? Where do you go from there? Most people would say there's nowhere to go but up, but I'm not so sure about that. And you're also dealing with one of the better head coaches in the league, a very good offensive line, maybe the most talented running back. That should make your job as a quarterback so much easier. And it looks like he's just laboring out there because he can't make all the throws he could just 3 to 4 years ago.
It's a really bad spot that the Colts find themselves in. You know, we talked about could Kirk Cousins be out of Minnesota if things go wrong? Considering the way they handled everything with Wentz, even though I don't know if it's financially workable, is Matt Ryan just out of Indianapolis after one season if they also miss the playoffs? Are they just going to do a merry-go-round until they find a quarterback to bring them to the playoffs, potentially? For me, the quarterback that has been most disappointing, though, from this list is Joe Burrow. I do think it's important to acknowledge the 13 sacks do not entirely fall on the offensive line. There's no quarterback worse than avoiding sacks or running into sacks in the NFL than Joe Burrow right now. Now, you could absolutely tell me, well, that's because it's in his head, because he knows they can't block for him. Okay, fine. But he is not helping the guys out in front of him. And the other reason why I think Burrow is so disappointing on this list, Donnie, 5 turnovers in the opening game, you should have been able to cross the finish line. And whether McPherson, you know, an extra point block, an unbelievable play, Minka Fitzpatrick, I understand all of that. You turn the ball over 5 times. That's unforgivable. It really is. And then you go up and you play against the Dallas Cowboys. And again, you're hardly moving the ball for 3 quarters. And at least if you were Matt Ryan, you know, if this was a court, Don, and you had to make a case, like, hey, listen, man, my number one wide receiver was Ashton Doolin, who none of you know, right? I mean, we're out here dealing with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. There has to be something here for Cincinnati to not sit 0-2 the way that they are. You know, we talk about – the funny thing is, right, obviously for how disappointing things have been for the Indianapolis Colts, you think about the teams that they've played. Cincinnati was a 6.5-point favorite in week number one and a 7-point favorite in week number two. So actually, they've been a bigger favorites than both – we're going to talk about Carr in a moment here – than the Raiders or the Indianapolis Colts have been and sit here 0-2, which is why, again, I think things have been so disappointing from Cincinnati. You should not be essentially a touchdown favorite in each of your first two games and be sitting at an 0-2 marker, and Joe Burrow bears a lot of responsibility for that.
No, he certainly does. He certainly does. And sort of that meteoric rise last year throughout the late parts of the regular season, right through the playoffs into the Super Bowl, where they were close to winning one. Maybe we anticipated a little bit more out of Joe Burrow this year and is feeling the pressure. But at the same time, though, I do give him a little bit of a pass for having the surgery, coming back rusty. But also, I think the point is valid you're bringing up here. If you're asking the Cincinnati Bengals before the season, you're going to go up against Mitchell Trubisky and then Cooper Rush, you better be 2-0 at that point. And they sit here 0-2. And it wasn't in the fashion, Kevin, where it's like, hey, with shootouts, we'll get it together. It was, boy, we didn't wake up in the first half. We needed a furious comeback just to get into this game, and then coming up short on both outlets here. We'll see if they can snap back, which I do think there's a good chance they snap back this weekend. But through 2 weeks, they're not leaving with a lot of, hey, man, this team can get back to the Super Bowl and win it this year. They're leaving that old adage of, oh, yeah, the loser of the Super Bowl always has a hangover. Mm-hmm. Well, looks like it's true right now with the Bengals at 0-2.
Yeah, and Burrow was supposed to enter a new class of quarterback, and it's just not happening. I want to get to some of the rookie wide receivers. I'll ask you, do you feel like Derek Carr belongs in this conversation? He's in it because they're 0-2. I think statistically he looks much better than Matt Ryan and Joe Burrow. Do you feel it's a little unfair to have Derek Carr here?
It is. I have, because it's a little bit of preseason bias for me, Kevin. What I mean for that is, like, I'm almost grading this based on, hey, Matt Ryan was supposed to come in and be the savior for the Colts. He's been terrible. Joe Burrow made it to the Super Bowl and almost won it. He's supposed to be better than that. Derek Carr and the Raiders are one of those wild card teams that you say anything you get positive out of them is good, and let's see if they can make a run and try to get into the playoffs. So I do think I'm grading him a little bit unfairly because I'm giving him a little bit more of a boost, saying it's the Raiders. I don't expect monster things this year from the Las Vegas Raiders.
Again, the defending AFC champions, right, and then a divisional favorite in the first two teams, and then the Raiders picked to finish fourth. Understandable. I'll say, though, on Derek Carr, 3 picks in the first game, you ultimately lose it by 1 possession. You had plenty of opportunities. That's hard to defend. And then you guys blow a 20-0 lead. Now, largely, that had nothing to do with you. It had to do with the play calling there. But just curious, right, you know, again, is that just Josh McDaniels maybe not being a good head coach? Just the natural conservative nature we see guys get into there, or maybe not trusting Derek Carr. Last week, again, with the 3 interceptions, I thought that was noteworthy. But look, 0-2 is still 0-2. I want to get to these rookie wide receivers. You know, the offensive rookie of the year market is one that fascinated me all offseason long. And what we have right now is a wide receiver class that was full of names, but maybe not full of stars, is how people described it. Well, maybe we have some stars here. And to some degree, is that really surprising when you consider how many of these guys were going in round number one? Some folks were going to have to pop off, and that's what we're seeing. Garrett Wilson, unbelievable last week. 100-plus yards, 2 touchdowns, the game winner versus the Cleveland Browns. Chris Olave, in a wide receiver room with Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry, is continuing to see his workload pop off. Drake London into the end zone last week for his best game so far in his young season. And Jahan Dotson has now played 2 games, has 3 receiving touchdowns on the year, which is incredibly impressive to open up the season here for the Washington Commanders, Donnie. I don't think at the moment we have the updated offensive rookie of the year market. Oddly enough, we only have the defensive rookie of the year market as we sit here this early in the morning. But of those four wide receivers, is there one to you that has been the most impressive?
I, you know what, all four of them. I mean, it's hard to say that. You say, like, hey, you look at these, you know, Wilson, Olave, London, and Dotson, and you can point to those first 2 weeks from each one of these teams and say, boy, they've really got it right here. You look at the pick for Garrett Wilson. Okay, you know, big guy coming from a big program, got to step up here. Oh, no, he's going to take a downgrade because maybe his quarterback isn't as good. That's an unbelievable performance. And also, let's take a look at the pressures that he had. Going back to the state of Ohio, where he's got some legendary status there, 8 for 102 and 2 scores in a monster comeback, which he was a big part of here. And also, take a look at Chris Olave. Where is he going to fit in? You're right. He's supposed to be that third wheel option, learn under the other two vets, and that looks like he has a good chance to actually step up and be a dominant wide receiver. Drake London, more question marks probably, Kevin, around Drake London, and ooh, that's an interesting pick there. He didn't get good separation at USC. It's a Pac-12 team. How is he going to assimilate to the NFL? He's done very well. And Jahan Dotson, we saw him perform extremely well in college football, now be the favorite target here of Carson Wentz. I love all four of those guys. And it also, it's very good for the future because it seems, Kevin, elite-level wide receivers coming out of college can perform at a high level right away, where 10 to 15 years ago, what was the old coach speak here? Hey, got to take some time here to get in the NFL and learn the system and be a professional. Maybe by like year 2 or 3, you can actually be a number 2 or number 1 wide receiver. Not the case anymore. These kids are built for this, and they're stepping up right away.
It's, again, a lot of talent being flashed early. Dotson right now being lifted by the touchdown markers, which will matter certainly there. Mm-hmm. How that sustains with Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin will be interesting. Dotson played 98% of the snaps for Washington. As a rookie, yeah, clearly, they trust him a ton. For me, with Olave, when we saw things pop off last week in a big way, received 13 targets, but only 5 receptions. Is that connection there with Jameis? And again, it's such a crowded room, I still think, when I look at Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry there. Drake London maybe is going to start to break out. Thought Kyle Pitts would be the number one target for this team. He and Mariota right now not in sync at all. And perhaps Drake London will continue to progress in the right direction. But for me, the answer is Garrett Wilson. 8 catches, 14 targets, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns. And also that marquee moment, the game-winning touchdown versus the Cleveland Browns. Garrett Wilson, for me, right now, last I saw, 12-1, fourth choice on the board, is presenting the most early season value. We'll talk some other awards as we close out hour number one next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number one. Inside hour number two. We'll talk about some week 3 lines. We'll get you your Major League Baseball preview. We'll also talk about the Heisman Trophy. So we might as well talk about the NFL MVP award. Now, off of last night, we saw two of the top 3 choices to win that award in action. Josh Allen, the favorite, still plus 340. Pat Mahomes, plus 460, second choice. Jalen Hurts, the third choice on the board at 10-1. It doesn't have to come from that front three, but just setting the stage. Anything else really catching your attention here with the MVP odds early season?
Yeah, the one thing that does, if you try to equate it, which we'll talk Heisman a little bit later in the show, is like the guys that are coming in like 5th, 6th, and 7th, you're getting steep discounts here and big betting tickets. That's not the case in the NFL, where you can dip all the way down to Tua Tagovailoa there in what, 1, 2, 3, 6, 8 spots down. Joe Burrow, 20-1, 9 spots down. Kyler Murray, 26-1. Russell Wilson, 26-1. I don't know what anybody's been watching so far that say he's even a legitimate chance at an MVP. But I got to tell you, the young guns here, right? Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, 12-1. They're no longer seeing like the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady's, which are always that 1-2 who is going to win that down the back stretch here. So it opens it up. I'm not surprised by Josh Allen here because the Buffalo Bills also Super Bowl odds, Kevin, plummeting as well, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I could say the leader in the clubhouse, it's going to be Josh Allen. It'll be topsy-turvy, but Patrick Mahomes, some pretty good chances here coming up to try to close that gap.
Look, some big-time numbers from both of those quarterbacks. I believe both sitting on 7 passing touchdowns right now. And I think the only other guy with 7 passing touchdowns, by the way, is Carson Wentz, who sits right now at 85-1 to win the MVP award. Worse odds than Matt Ryan, believe it or not. The name that's interesting to me is Tom Brady at 17-1. Statistically, not even in the same universe to start this season as Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. However, if the Bucs continue to win games, and Nani, they finish the season with 13, 14 wins, Tom will be in the mix. We'll talk to Heisman Trophy Hour 2.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.